Welcome you back to the Locker Room Show. Trevor Turner with you on this Tuesday night. The eve of Ted Roof. New defensive coordinator hired today at Penn State University. Here to talk about it, I'd like to bring on Mike Pettigano, editor at theblackshoediaries.com. First of all, Mike, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me on.
So first of all, when I was talking to you on the phone prior to the show, you mentioned something kind of interesting. One of the things it seemed like you were very keen on talking about is that you have a little bit more optimism about the Ted Roof hiring than what you're mostly seeing all over the internet.
Yeah, I don't. My thing is lately, I've been trying not to sound like a homer because it seems everyone's so downtrodden about the Ted Roof hire that, you know, things don't always seem to be what they, you know. Looking at the stat sheet for someone like Ted Roof, it's easy to, you know, get up in arms looking at his defense last year at Auburn, but if you look back on his career, it's really, he's not that bad. If you look at his time at Georgia Tech, he had some top 25 defenses there. He was nominated for the 2000 Broyles Award. And one example I like to point to is his work at Minnesota. He was hired in 2007 with Tim Brewster's staff there, and he really took the reins and from 2007 to 2008, he took the 109th ranked total defense from 2007, got him up to 61st nationally in 2008. Now, the thing with Minnesota is that that may not be impressive, but what's one of the main complaints people have about Penn State's defense, especially the past, I'd say, 2 years, 2010 was a bad year for turnovers. Everyone wants them to turn the ball over, you know, get more turnovers, get more takeaways. Get to the quarterback a little more. Well, Ted Roof can do that. At Minnesota, they were 116th nationally in 2007 in sacks. In 2008, he got them up to 24th nationally. Even more impressive, at Minnesota in 2007, they were 114th nationally in total takeaways. Well, in 2008, they were 11th nationally in total takeaways. So you're looking at kind of a, you know, if you look at him in a vacuum of what he did at Auburn, where they had, as people like to, historically bad defenses last year, record-setting with bad defenses last year, this past season, they were only 81st nationally in total D and 79th in scoring D. Now, that's bad for Penn State standards, but you look at a team like Auburn this year, I mean, their offense was terrible. They were 100th. In total offense and 70th in scoring offense. Now, I don't know about anyone else, but if you look at football, both sides of the ball count. And we saw that at Penn State. The defense suffers if the offense can't produce. That's what happened at Auburn this past year. But, you know, I guess I'm trying to play devil's advocate here, and I'm sure quite a few people, you know, come back at me saying that I'm being too much of an optimist or I'm trying to sugarcoat this. I don't know how Ted Roof is going to turn out. He may not turn out to be a great hire, but my thing is just look at what he's done over his entire career and let's see how this pans out before, you know, we call for him to get him.
And that is a good point, Mike. A lot of people are very quick to dismiss a coach, especially if the recent past hasn't been exactly all that successful. And frankly, I've been a culprit of it too on this very same show. Now, before we talk about more about what's happened to him, especially at Auburn, what kind of style defense will he be bringing with himself? You mentioned it a little bit more aggressive, more prone to forcing turnovers. What other changes would you particularly expect with a Ted Roof defense?
Well, I think it's pretty straightforward, and you said it there. Turnovers are going to be one of the bigger things, and that's what, if he can do that for Penn State while maintaining, I mean, he runs a 3-4 or a 4-3 defense. I mean, it's not like he's coming in trying to install 3-4 and Penn State's going to fall apart, you know, without the nose tackle or anything like that. The personnel is there. If he can maintain the fundamentally sound defense that Penn State traditionally plays with tackling, playing in space, you know, getting to the ball, reading plays, if he can do that while at the same time getting them to be more aggressive in terms of takeaways and, you know, maybe Penn State will finally get a defensive coordinator that won't play the corners 8-10 yards off the line of scrimmage. You know, maybe they'll go after those out routes and run them back for touchdowns here and there. You know, it's been quite a while since we've seen a truly aggressive defense from Penn State. Sure, they've been fantastic. I've loved what Tom Bradley's done over the course of his career as defensive coordinator, but you can't really argue that there was more of an emphasis on sound tackling and being where you need to be rather than going after the ball, maybe making that game-changing interception or return a fumble for a touchdown, especially in those big games when Penn State just needed that one or two more defensive plays. And, you know, granted, the offense didn't help them out too much, especially this past season. But look at this season. That's why I mentioned it. Look at this past season. What if the defense had gotten that one turnover or one interception when they were so close? And let's say, you know, someone like a Nick Suke, you know, he was great this year, but, you know, he went after the hit rather than the interception sometimes. And that's the way they were taught to play, and that's understandable. But the aggressiveness can be a real asset if Ted Roof can bring that kind of style to the already fundamentally sound defense that Penn State already plays.
With Mike Pettigano of BlackShoeDiaries.com, I'm Trevor Turner here on the Locker Room Show, ESPN Radio, Williamsport. Mike, one of the concerns I have with a lot of the coaches that Bill O'Brien has assembled here, it seems to me as if it's kind of a hastily put together staff full of mostly his old friends. It's all guys who either coach with him at Georgia Tech or coach with him at Duke. Are you at all worried that perhaps the staff is more of a just put my friends on the staff and worry about the Patriots now rather than interviewing a long, lengthy group of candidates?
Well, I wouldn't say I'm worried. It's always, you know, you look at it on face value and say, well, he's just hiring his friends. Well, Penn State just went through 50 years of a coach who pretty much hired people who was already in his coaching tree or,
it's a decent point.
One in particular that was related to him. I mean, he had Jay Paterno on the staff, and granted, I never thought he was as bad of a coach as everyone had, you know, portrayed him to be. I wasn't a big fan, but I gave the guy a little more credit than most people did. But this is the way coaching works, and, you know, you mentioned how hastily assembled this staff was. Sure it was. Penn State gave him no time. He has to get his coaches in place now. Otherwise, they're going to lose recruits left and right. I'm surprised they haven't lost more because of this. But you have guys like Armani Reeves, who got his offer from Ohio State today, I think it was, and he's looking around. He's one of the top-rated players in the class, one of the most important players on defense. I mean, he's one of the best corners in the country. And, you know, Penn State losing someone like him, who knows if someone like a Cam Williams or someone like that could go too. You need the staff together now, and this year was going to be tough anyway.
Yeah.
But with the holdovers from the previous staff, Vanderlinden and Johnson, even go with John Thomas, who has been conditioning coach, every little bit helps sometimes. But having Vanderlinden and Johnson on the staff will definitely go a long way to alleviating some of the pressure that goes along with having a staff perform right away. With a new team, a new program, things like that. So, I mean, I'm not terribly worried about it in terms of nepotism or anything like that. I guess it's not really family here, but it seems to be the way the real coaching world works, and Penn State hasn't had to deal with the real coaching world in a long time. Just as an example, that they had no idea how to find a coach to begin with. I like the O'Brien hire. I think it at least was a safe hire. I think he's going to do well, and I think his staff is going to be all right.
Mike, I'm glad you talked about recruiting there. You touched on it for a second. You mentioned it, something that I mentioned in the opening segment of my show here. Johnson and Vanderlinden are the team, are the program's most dynamic two recruiters. I was glad to see they were the two that were brought back. Do you see any potential recruiting bonus from the new guys they brought in?
Well, I'm not sure. Are you talking about the recruits that they're going to bring in?
I'm talking about new guys at this point.
Oh, new guys. I'm not sure just because it's so late. I think their main goal right now is to keep the guys they have and live to fight next year, which isn't a bad strategy. Penn State has some good guys coming in this year, as long as they can keep all of them. I think there's about 13 or 14 commits so far. They lost the one and maybe another, but I think there's only one they actually lost this year. But it's not a bad class. Keep who you got and work on next year, because it's as soon as signing day comes and goes, it's on to the next class, and that's where Vanderlinden and Johnson can use their already strong ties to kind of kickstart the 2013 class. And what most fans may not be familiar with are the recruiting areas that O'Brien's bringing to the table here. There's a lot of guys from the South. I mean, you look at the guy he brought in for the new offensive line coach, Mac McWhorter, from
Texas.
I mean, he won a national title as the assistant head coach there, associate head coach there, and he was the offensive line coach there. In 2007, they lost three offensive linemen at Texas to the NFL draft and had a ton of injuries, yet that offense still finished 13th in the nation in total offense. So if positions like that can be not only improved on a team, but finally get those elite offensive linemen in here that pan out finally. I mean, one of the main complaints I hear is that Penn State can't develop offensive lines more than every 4 years or so. Well, you're bringing in an elite offensive line coach who, by the way, has those valuable Texas connections.
Yeah.
Who knows if Penn State could swoop in and scoop up one of those, you know, top 50 Texas recruits. I mean, that's barely ever happened because Penn State has stayed so regional in recruiting. But it opens up a whole new pool of recruits with this new staff.
Mike, it's such a glass half empty or half full way of looking at it. You could either see it as all these coaches from Georgia, Florida, Texas, from those areas, you can see that as a way to reach into new areas, new recruiting bases. Or you could look at it, and I think it's a fair point, as there are absolutely no connections to the state of Pennsylvania in almost any of these hires, which to me, it definitely has to be at least of some concern. I mean, when you're talking about Penn State, you don't think about a bunch of coaches who are going to come into your living room speaking in Southern accents.
True. I mean, I completely understand that. But it's like you said, it's a glass half full or half empty. I think of it more as a give and take. You know, there are plenty of recruits in the state of Pennsylvania that Penn State should be getting every year. But if these guys are good enough recruiters, they shouldn't have a problem. And, you know, I don't know about you, but there are some parts of Pennsylvania where you're not sure if you're in the South or not in terms of accent. So it's not, you know, the culture, it's football. You know, culture is one thing outside of football. But in football, if you're a good coach, if you can sell a program and you can get these guys to come in, it doesn't matter where they come from. And if Penn State can get the kind of production from the recruits and from the team on the field, it won't matter. You'll have those guys from Pennsylvania, those Noah Spences. Finally, they'll be looking at Penn State once again. It may take a while, and I'm really afraid fans are going to not give O'Brien time here. He's been given a very difficult task, especially in recruiting. And if it takes some time, he could possibly get Penn State to a point where they can recruit these top five guys in the region and really make a run, if not grab a couple of them. And, you know, rather than every 3 or 4 years have a great recruiting class, maybe it's every 2 years. And that's where, you know, that's where Penn State is right now. And I think a new staff is scary. It really is for a program that hasn't really had to deal with a new staff ever. There were a couple turnovers here and there, but essentially it's been the same guys.
Yeah.
And they've been Penn State guys. The outside, it's kind of interesting that Vanderlinden and Johnson are two guys who really don't have any connection to Penn State before they got here or before they got to State College. So, you know, you look at that and they're some of the better recruiters Penn State's had. And they've gotten the guys from Pennsylvania also, even though they concentrate more in the D.C. area and Maryland and places like that. But they've gone up to Michigan. They've gone to Ohio. They've gone to New Jersey. And Penn State needs that. So I think it'll be rough, at times. Like right now, everyone's concentrating on their coaching hires and freaking out about that. It's understandable, but everyone needs to just chill out for a little bit, give them time, and hate to say it, root for the Patriots, because if your head coach can say, oh, by the way, you just talked to Nick Saban, well, I just won a Super Bowl. So, you know, there are benefits where it's easy to not see them.
Hey, Mike, thanks for coming on the show.
You got it. Glad to be on.
Mike Pettigano of Black Shoe Diaries. It's quickly, in my opinion, the best Penn State football blog out there. That's blackshoediaries.com. Mike Pettigano joining the show here on ESPN Radio, Williamsport, Trevor Turner with you. When we come back, I'll talk about, well, we'll keep it kind of in the college ranks, but more of the fusion pro college type of deal when we talk about the pros. It's the draft and what the Eagles and Steelers have to do moving forward, plus which Penn Staters could be prospects to look at in the draft. I'll talk with John Dove, the featured NFL draft analyst at the Bleacher Report. Coming up next on the Locker Room Show, Trevor Turner, ESPN Radio, Williamsport.